question I want you to walk away from today is, do I believe? That's what I want you to walk away with. Do I believe? And I pray that the words that I give will bring that question to light in your hearts. I want to read a couple verses out of Romans chapter 4. Is 48 seconds up, by the way?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 3 and then verses 16 and 17. Verse 3 says, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Then verse 16 says, "For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'A father of many nations have I made you,' in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the death, to the dead, and calls into being that which does not exist." So, Father, I pray your word would come alive in our hearts today. In Jesus' name. Do any of you know who Harry Calcord is? Okay, I'm not going to tell you till the end. So I don't know if any of you are going to Google him while I'm talking, but if you do, you'll know what I'm talking about. But Harry Calcord has an experience that I want to share with you today that goes along with this word. I want to talk about the word believe today, because as many people have said, there's so many things going on, so many distractions, so many ways you can look at things that are going on. I could sit here and give you headline after headline after headline after headline, and you would all understand, and most of the headlines I could give would bring to some people varying responses. But I want to talk about believing in God. Believing in God. And the Greek word most commonly used in the New Testament for believe is pistio. It means to believe or entrust. I believe, have faith in, or trust in. Does it sound like another Greek word you may have heard? Pistis. You know what that word is? Faith. Right? Basically, faith, pistis, is a noun. Believe, pistio, is a verb. Now, Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. Belief is putting that faith into action, or doing what we're doing in order to achieve that result. And I want to talk about believing because the word itself in Greek is totally dependent on the context in which it's written. And that's why it's so important when we're reading that we read context. I'm going to give you one quick example. James 2, I believe it's 19. Where James says, "You believe that God is one. You do well." All right. That word is pistio. You believe that God is one. All right. You've come to that conclusion. Then it goes on to say the devils also believe. That word is pistio. Same word. And they shudder. So you can see how context means everything when we're talking about believing. Now, what we have in our society today, in our world today, is we have a lot of conflicting belief systems. We believe in things that we see. Part of what was mentioned in the movie yesterday, they were showing up that we tend to believe what we know of God based on what our earthly father was like. And they were putting up little frames, I don't know if you remember that at the end, where it would say things like liar. You know people who think God's a liar? Or how about distant? He's a long way away. And what God is saying is, no, I'm not like your dad. I had to learn that too, because my dad left when I was 13. So I thought God left. And it took me a long time to realize that my dad didn't live up to God's standard, and not God failed to live up to my dad's. So it all has to do with how we look at things, how we address things, what we allow to filter our beliefs in. So the word is used basically to persuade yourself. All right? How many of you think, I think I can. I worked at Kinko's for 10 years. Paul Orfila was the founder of Kinko's. If you don't know, Kinko's was named because his hair was like a big red afro. It was bushy. But his famous saying was, if you can think it, you can do it, at Kinko's. And basically anything graphic design, we would try and work with, right? So we would try and pull people's thinking out and put it on a piece of paper. If you can think it, you can do it. Well, that's believing in yourself. Many times we believe in ourselves, and we ourselves fall short. Have you ever failed yourself? It's not pleasant. It's not easy. It's hard to admit, too. So it's also used of being persuaded by the Lord. And this is where we get into the kingdom mentality. So I want to look at the things that draw us into that position of believing. And I want to use a couple of examples. One is Abraham. And that's why I've said Genesis partly. Because God made a promise to Abraham. And that was quoted here in Romans 4:3. That Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So what did Abraham believe? If you go back to Genesis chapter 15, that's where this section of scripture is quoted from, you will see that Abraham is standing before God, and God comes to him and says, "Don't fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abraham answered and said, "What will you give me since I am childless? I don't have any kids. I've got to give everything I've done, I've got to give to one of my slaves." Abraham said, "Go outside. Look at the stars. Look at the stars. Count them if you can. Count them. Can you count them?" That's the best I could do on short notice with stars. I apologize. He said, "So shall your descendants be." How many children did Abraham have at this point in time? Zero. Zero. But God said, "Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in heaven." And do you realize this is not the first time God promised this to Abraham, but the second time? First time was in Genesis chapter 13. It was related to the sand of the sea at that point in time. "So will your descendants be like the sand of the sea." Abraham didn't respond in scripture to that one. But in this one, it says he believed God. That word believe in Hebrew is aman, A-M-A-N. And it was a confirmation of support. So he took God at his word. And that's something that I want us to challenge ourselves to today. Do we take God at his word? And what do we do with that word once we take it? Right? So if we look at Genesis, chapter 16 is when Ishmael is born. Now in chapter 15, When God promised Abraham that his descendants would be like the sand of the sea, he said, no, this slave's not going to be your heir, but someone who comes from your loin. Do you know what happens between that time and the time Isaac is born? Ishmael. Sarah comes up, says, hey, Abraham, I'm not having any kids. Let me give you my slave. Maybe she can bear a kid on my behalf. Abraham goes, sounds okay to me. Right? I mean, Ishmael was from Abraham's loins. So Abraham may have thought, well, this is maybe God's way of fulfilling his promise. We ever do that? Maybe just a little bit too soon? We think we figured out what God wants to do and we start moving on our own behalf. That's what Abraham did. 10 years after the initial promise in Genesis 15, Ishmael is born. 13 years after that, Abraham's 99, Genesis chapter 17, God speaks to him again. It says, your descendants are going to be like the stars, too numerous to count. But it's not going to be Ishmael, it's going to be Sarah that gives you that child. Do you know what Abraham did at that point in time? He fell down and laughed. You thought Sarah was the only one who laughed when she got the news that she was going to have a baby? Abraham laughed and said, oh, no, no, look, I've already got Ishmael. He's already from my loin. Let him be the one. And God says, nope, not going to happen. 25 years after God gave Abraham the promise, God gave Abraham Isaac. And Abraham never did inherit the land because it was promised to his descendants. But Abraham believed God. He believed God. Many things happened between the 75th year when he got the first promise and the 100th year when Isaac was born. But Abraham believed God. He was walking around going, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. You know what the word Abram means in Hebrew? Exalted father. Abraham means father of many nations. So every time his name is pronounced, he's calling himself a father of some sort, either exalted or father of many nations. And he has to get that into his head that if God said that's what it is, that's what it is. So Abraham believed God, and it was counted as a promise. Next one I want to talk about is in John chapter 4. Starts with verse 46. I'm not going to read the scripture. Jesus has come back to Capernaum after talking with the Samaritan woman, ends up in Cana, and a royal official from Capernaum hears that he is there. You may know the story. He goes up to Jesus and says to Jesus, Jesus, come down to Capernaum and heal my son because he's sick. He must have heard something about Jesus performing miracles. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made that trek. It was not an easy trek. I don't know if you know that Capernaum's about 800 feet below sea level. Cana's about 1,000, 1,500 feet above sea level. So it's quite a climb. And you're walking, and it's desert, and it's hot. But he made the trip based on what he had heard about Jesus. Jesus' initial response to him, listen to what he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Pistio. Now, the man didn't come up thinking anything about signs and wonders. He just wanted his son well. That's all he wanted. So he falls down and he, please come down before my child dies. And Jesus says, go. Your son lives. And then it says the man believed the word of Jesus. He believed the word of Jesus. So he left. Right? Now you think that's good. That's good. I mean, it's good. But he's still basing his belief on something that's external. He's basing it on something that's happening right now. And if it doesn't come out exactly the way he wants, what's going to happen to his faith? Right? So he goes down and he's headed down the hill and he meets a group of his slaves coming up the hill going, your son's better. Just like Jesus said. And the man goes, what time did it happen? Yesterday at the seventh hour. That's when Jesus said, go, your son lives. You know what happened after that? It says that the man believed God. Or believed in God is what my version says. So it's gone from a belief in something that's going to happen now to a belief that God's who he says he is. This man's got to be from God. There has to be a God. And it's transformed from a situational belief into a faith in God's character. You see how it progresses along there? This is what God is trying to get into our hearts. He wants us to move into that scenario. Then, of course, we have Thomas, one of the 12 disciples. Jesus resurrected from the dead, showed himself to the disciples. Guess who wasn't there? Thomas wasn't there. And all the other disciples said to him, Thomas, you won't believe this. We saw Jesus. He's alive. Unless I see his handprints and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Pistio. I will not believe. You see what that is? It's a choice. It's a choice. The next week, Jesus shows up. Thomas is there. Jesus says, come here, Thomas. Let me show you something. Put your finger here. Stick your hand in there. Don't be doubting, but believe. What does Thomas say? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. And Jesus kind of chided him a little. Said, because you have seen, you have believed. Pistio. Physical. I had to prove it to you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Pistio. Choice. You have a choice to believe that God is who God says he is. And he will do what he says he will do. I believe Terry alluded to that when he was talking with Billet. God is not going to make a mistake. God is not sitting up in heaven surprised at what's going on. He's not looking at this going, oh, no. What are we going to do about these mandates? Oh, no. How am I going to correct inflation? He's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. Why do we limit God to what we perceive he's going to do? We can't do that. We just can't do that. Believing is a choice. I choose to believe what God says. So what are some things that God says? Terry said one. I will never leave you or forsake you. Did God say that? Do you believe it? Do you really, really believe? John says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Do you really believe that? Is it something you can walk confidently in and know that that's what God said? I mean, I know what I've done. I've compared what I've done to a lot of other people, and I find myself worse. But in the sight of God, if I confess that to him, he's faithful and just. He will forgive it. What about go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything I command you? What's the last thing he says before he's ascended into heaven? Lo, I am with you always. Do you believe that? Do you really believe? Do you really believe? What else could possibly be important? It's so easy when we accept that Jesus is the one who transcends what we see going on. He's bigger. You know, we have a tendency, especially in our country with our media and everything, to isolate and separate. There's a spirit of division trying to take over the country. And if in taking over the country, it's taking over the church. And we have to be very careful that we don't allow the division that's taking place in the country. And there's race division going on. There's male-female division going on. There's mandates and vaccination things going on. There are things that challenge us. We have to understand that he's not going to leave us or forsake us, no matter where we are. I read a headline yesterday, and it just kind of points out to me a bigger battle, which I think we have to be aware that the battle that's flesh and blood or not flesh and blood is bigger than each individual one we see reported on. Here's one that says, House Democrats oppose GOP proposal for schools to require parental consent for vaccinating kids. Think about that for a minute. How many of you are parents? Would you want the government choosing what to do with your kid? No. But the media wants you to think you're a bad parent if you do that. There are states that will take your kids away if you don't vaccinate. It's bigger. It's bigger. The devil is trying to control. He's trying to manipulate. He's trying to take advantage. And we have to understand that God is bigger than that. Do you believe that? Do you really, really believe that? I mentioned Harry Calcord at the beginning of the message. Anyone Google him? Ah, what a great group of people we have. I thought for sure somebody would sneak a little Google on that. Harry Calcord was a manager for an entertainer whose name was Jean-Francois Gravelet. Any of you know who he is? Okay. He was also known as Charlie Blandon. Any of you know who he is? He's the first person to walk across the Niagara Falls Canyon on a tightrope. He did it in 1859, and I know that's before any of us were born. So I understand not knowing this. But he was a showman. He was a showman. And he would go across and he ran up the thing. He would do back somersaults in the middle. They had tied guy wires. And so the middle 50 yards would bow down about 50 feet. So he'd have to figure out how to get back up. He would do stupid things like go across with a wheelbarrow. He actually took a stove out there, sat down in the middle of the rope, cooked an omelet, and lowered it down to a ship that was underneath him at the time. You see what, right? Harry Calcord was his manager. And one day, Charlie Blandon said, "I'm going to take you across with me. I want you to get on my back, and we're going to go across together." While they were going across, some of the support wires actually broke, but the main wire didn't. But I want you to listen to what Charlie told Harry, and think about your relationship with Jesus as I read this quote. Charlie said, "Look up, Harry. You are no longer Calcord. You are Blandon. Until I clear this place, be a part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself. If you do, we will both go to our death." Think about that. Think about the faith that Harry had to have in Charlie's ability to get across that wire. Right? I think we need to understand. And the same thing applies to riders on motorcycles. Drivers lean certain ways. Well, if you're not used to the way that a motorcycle runs and you're on the back of the motorcycle, you're trying to correct it. And that's not good for motorcycles. It's really not good if you're on a 3-inch rope over Niagara Falls, right? But listen to what he's saying. You are no longer Calcord. You are Blandon. And the challenge I want to give you today is you are no longer you. You are Jesus. You are Jesus. And until I clear this place, be a part of me, mind, body, and soul. Give me your everything. Let Jesus sway and sway with him. Don't try to balance yourself. Don't try to correct things that you don't think are right. Trust the one who is carrying you. And that's what I think Jesus would want us to do today. Do you believe? Are you willing to put that belief on the back of one who is going to carry you across? That's the question I have for you today. Let's pray as the worship team prepares to come back up. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are with us always. You never leave us or forsake us. Father, I pray that if we struggle with actually believing, with actually allowing you to be our everything, that you would reveal to us what you would have us to do. And let us fully surrender to you today. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name.